It sure is. Good afternoon, Sally Lucas.
Hi, Amanda.
Great to have you. Now, I believe we're going to the Arctic today.
We are going to the Arctic. We just don't talk about it as much, I think. Always the Antarctic, and I think it gets a little bit forgotten about what there is to offer in the Arctic as opposed to the Antarctic. So I thought maybe we'll just explore some of that today.
So places like?
Like Greenland, Iceland, Svalbard. There's plenty of places there, and Greenland's the largest island on the earth.
Sounds good to me. Excellent. Mm. Talking travel with Sally Lucas, and we're going to the Arctic.
Yes, and why not? I mean, we feel like we've been in it, I think, for the last week or so, but
we may as well
really get into it. I just thought we'd explore this area of Greenland, Iceland and Svalbard in particular, even though parts of Alaska do form part of the Arctic as well. I'm mainly talking to that area of north above Europe. And just some of the things you may or may not know about the area, I thought we'd discuss that today. And compared to the Antarctic, of course, you see penguin upon penguin, so you've millions of penguins and you've got your sea life, but you don't have much other bird life. You've got a few skuas who pinch the poor penguins' chicks and eggs, and you'll see an albatross occasionally and so on. But it's mainly you go there for the whiteness, the ice, the icebergs and the marine life and the penguins. Whereas you're going to Iceland and Greenland and Svalbard, these are areas that have got communities living there, you've got to remember. They're not isolated with no one there. They're living communities. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing everything from incredible fjords and glaciers and icebergs. You're still seeing all that. And polar bears who are king of the, they're top of the pile.
And you want to see them from a distance. You don't want to see them up close.
No. Not really. But again, you're seeing some incredible animals there that you're not going to see anywhere else, you know, whether it's the narwhal, which is part of the whale family, the beluga whale. You're going to see snowy white owls. You're going to see Arctic foxes. You're going to see ground squirrels. You're going to see musk ox. This reindeer or caribou reindeer, same thing. You know, it's just the list goes on of the wildlife you're going to see is quite exceptional, which is a plethora by mm-hmm. comparison. And puffins, those beautiful birds.
Oh, like a puffin bird.
And other birds as well. So you're going to see, as I said, a lot. But the coast of Greenland or the coastline of Greenland, and even when you look at a map of it and you see how many fjords and inlets there are when you start looking at a map of Greenland, you can understand why it's considered some of the most beautiful coastline you'll see in the world. And, of course, it's got UNESCO areas there as well, World Heritage Sites, where you've just got these deep blue waters, like deep blue with these glistening icebergs in fjords, you know, and glaciers just spilling down. So it is quite spectacular. And you've also got to remember they've got like that, isn't it there, I think, where they've got the, what do they call it, the underground system in one of these countries in the Arctic where they store everything for future generations to be kept, you know, samples,
like
plants and et cetera, which is kept under ice because it keeps it preserved. And I can't exactly remember
what
country that's
about.
In, but that's in that area as well. And Greenland is massive. It's the largest island on Earth. You know, you forget about that, but when you look at it compared to Iceland, which is just off to the southern bottom part of it's tiny, and then Svalbard's a bit further north, and it's not very big either, but it's still bigger than Iceland. So, but Iceland again, you've got your volcanic activity, so you've not just got ice, you've got volcanoes. So it's
ice and fire.
Yep. Ice and fire. It's exactly right. And they have spectacular volcanic eruptions there, which you just don't think about. You relate it more to a hot area.
Yeah.
But these areas are seismic still, so even though they're ice. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting facts. And the Arctic and all its ice caps and sheets and glaciers are home to 10% of the world's fresh water supply, which is quite a lot when you think about it. And the Greenland ice sheet is formed by the accumulation of ice and snow that's estimated to be between 500,000 and 250,000 years old. And it covers an astonishing 1.7 million square kilometres, all entirely made up of ice. So if you think about the estimates these days of the melting ice caps, you can imagine how much rise in sea level you'd get.
If a lot of them melted.
Mm. Yeah, it could be, they reckon, up to 7.3 metre rise in sea levels, which would be amazing. But anyhow, also, to be on a negative side of this, we want to go about the positive side of visiting these places. And also you find a lot of the companies going there now, they've got purpose-built vessels that aren't going to harm the environment, and they're very gentle on the environment, but they're smaller so they can nudge you in to more of these beautiful fjords and areas that you're going to experience, which again is a wonderful thing as well. So these fleets are quite modern expedition fleets that will take you there. So it'd be quite a spectacular thing to do. And the Arctic word actually comes from the Greek, which roughly translates to bear, but not because of the polar bear, but it was because of the Ursa Major, which is your great bear of the skies, of course. That's your main star, with Ursa Major, and that which translate to Great Bear. comes from Arctos in Greek. And yes, they use it to locate the North Star. So it was all to do with astronomy, not the polar bear. So there you go, there's another interesting fact.
You're just full of facts, aren't you, Sal?
I've got a lot more facts. You want some more facts?
Go for it.
But it's not as cold as you think. It's not tropical, but it's not as cold as the Antarctic either. And the reason for that is they're both covered in ice and snow, both areas, but the Arctic is primarily water, and large bodies of water regulate temperature. So the Arctic is cold, but the ocean is cold, but it's still warmer than the ice that covers it. If that makes sense. And in contrast to Antarctica, which is mostly land, including large mountains, so the higher up you get, the colder it gets.
Right.
Okay, so the Arctic is actually warmer than the Antarctic.
Right.
So you could go there and it mightn't be as cold as here.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It'll all depend on the wind factor.
That's right. That's right. It's all about the wind factor.
Like yesterday. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And today, well, not as bad
not
today.
Not as bad, and it's going to
but windy.
It'll be better.
But, yeah, I've got some more interesting facts for you in just a moment.
This is Talking Travel with Sally Lucas. I'm Amanda McCreed, and we are going to the Arctic.
We certainly are. We've been there today, and I'm just going to continue with a few facts. We'll go back to polar bears for a moment. Now, they're marine mammals, of course, and the Arctic is home to the polar bears, and they're known as the largest land predator in the world. They're built for the frozen world of the Arctic. They've got those thick layers of fur and fat, so they're ready for those frigid temperatures. But they're often seen miles out to sea during the summer months looking for ice from which to hunt seals, which is their favourite prey. But, of course, a lot of these ice floes are breaking up now, and some of them are getting stranded and losing weight and not getting their food. But, you know, so definitely I think when we're going to any of these areas these days, the more we can do to help any sort of conservation and do anything to help the planet, which is a lot of is what's happening, and hopefully not too late, you know, because these are just magnificent creatures. We would hate to ever see them disappear from our planet. The other interesting fact about a polar bear is they've got white fur, but they've got black skin.
So what happens?
I don't know these things. I just know that's true,
of,
but I just don't know
facts.
How. Well, the thing is, it's really interesting. I see a lady through Hammond Care, as you know, and she always asks me very interesting questions, and I know I'm digressing. But she said to me the other day, where did we really all come from? And she said, who made us all the different colours? Who decided who should be black or brown or white? And I couldn't answer her. And she said, I don't think anyone could.
I think it's to do with the location.
I said
where
the climate.
Yeah,
I said that. But it's, you know, but you know what I mean? There's interesting questions that we really never know the root of the real answer. That's what I'm getting to.
That's it. So polar bears, they're a mystery.
They're a mystery. Now, the Arctic Ocean is the shallowest and smallest ocean on Earth, but it covers over 8.5 million square kilometres, which is nearly the size of Russia. It's mostly frozen over for the majority of the year. But due to climate change, again, the ice cover is receding. And they say one day ships may actually travel across the Arctic Ocean, which you can't at the moment because it's mainly ice. I hope that doesn't happen, really.
No.
Now, the Arctic region is home to about 4 million people. Indigenous peoples make up the majority of Greenland's population and over half of the Arctic Canadian population. There are many different groups of Indigenous peoples in the Arctic, which include the Inuit, who live in Canada, Greenland and parts of Alaska, the Yupik and the Inupiat, I hope I'm saying that correctly, who live in northern Alaska, and the Sami people of the European Arctic. So the Sami people are even in countries like Norway, etc. as well, so not even in the high Arctic, they're down into the lower regions as well. So that's really interesting also. Now, there's ancient underground ice in much of the Arctic. Permafrost can be from about 1 to 1,500 metres thick. It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
That is hard to imagine.
And it traps flora and fauna, but more alarmingly, apparently, methane gas that may be released on melting. So that's another issue that we have to deal with if the melting continues. I mean, let's hope it's not. So rapid climate change is causing permafrost to melt in many regions of the Arctic, of course. And yes, well, let's just hope that that can be stopped. Now, another interesting fact, your compass doesn't point due north.
Where does it point?
Well, apparently, they say, contrary to the popular belief, it doesn't. Finding the point around which the Earth spins will take some serious measurements and cannot be done with just a compass.
So it's a rough
It's really a rough. The magnetic pole location changes as the Earth's magnetic field fluctuates, and it isn't in quite the same place as the geographic North Pole. So there you go. That's just to confuse you even further. And if you, as you get further south, the difference between magnetic north and true north, which is known as declination, is less and less obvious. So when you find yourself in the far north, you may literally discover that your magnetic compass is absolutely useless.
Oh, okay.
Just to be different. And, of course, we all know if you go at, you know, certain times of the year when all the physics is right in the sky, you're going to see the incredible aurora borealis.
Oh, that's what I'd want to see.
And you can stay in igloos with glass tops. They make these special igloos so you can lie in the night, still be cosy and warm, but you're going to be looking at that wonderful night sky. How beautiful would that be?
It would be amazing. That's on my bucket list.
I reckon that, yes, it's. I'd love to go back to Norway, and even more of that, I've only done that. I haven't been into the high Arctic like, you know, Svalbard and Iceland and so on. But I think, you know, even to do a cruise around it would be wonderful. You're off on your Zodiacs every day. Because there's not a lot of places like in Greenland, particularly even though it's so large, it's not widely inhabited. So to be on the comfort of the ship, but still be able to see your fjords, your glaciers, the animals, come back to the comfort of the ship each day. And then maybe at the end you could have a little time on land and stay in one of the igloos. I think that would be wonderful.
Hopefully it's a heated igloo.
Oh, yep, definitely.
Although how can the igloo
be
heated and not melt?
Well, when I say heated, it's heated in as much as they make these ice snow hotels and everything, and they're quite cosy and warm. I visited one where we were in Norway. It's just amazing, right up the top near Kirkenes, and it was just incredible. It doesn't melt. They have to make it. It does get a little bit less dense, if you like, the ice until, you know, winter comes round again and they make it even more dense. And it just doesn't get cold in there. And they have these beautiful big, you know, furs, reindeer furs or whatever, you know, on your beds. And, you know, you've got all the warmth and everything you could ever imagine. It's just amazing.
It is amazing.
And even just to see there, like we went and visited all the huskies and the reindeer and, yeah, you know, it's just a different world.
Mm.
A beautiful world, you know, and it snowed and, you know, it was just everything that you could wish for if you're wanting to go into that northern Scandinavian part of the world, even if you don't get as far north as the Arctic, but the high Arctic, but it's still a beautiful place to visit.
Yeah.
Really, really stunning. And if it's not been on your bucket list, it wouldn't be a bad one to add in, particularly if you're interested in wildlife and beauty.
And you don't mind the cold.
And you don't mind. You just rug up. You just get your thermals out, you have a nice pair of good fur-lined boots, you know, gloves, hats, scarves, and you just, you know, layer off when you come inside because everything's nice and cosy when you come back, whether it's on board a ship or in a hotel or whatever, you're going to be nice and cosy.
Or just suck it up because it's
or just
amazing.
Suck it up. Yeah, just suck it up. Get a a baklava. that's a Greek dessert, a balaclava. Not a baklava. Don't put that on your face.
No.
You can eat one of those. They're
you can
delicious.
Eat one. Yeah, yeah. But might make a nice face mask. That's about it.
But you know what I mean.
Yes.
Pop that round your face. But
it.
Yes, honestly, Greenland, Iceland, Svalbard. You know, if even just to say, if you don't get that far and just get as far as Norway or Sweden or Finland, you know, you're going to see some stunning scenery, beautiful creatures. The people are welcoming, lovely people. Food's great. You know, it's a fantastic spot to go, really is.
Talking hot deals, Sal.
We are, and we have been talking about the Arctic today, and there is a few vacancies left on a couple of departures right at the end of August and towards the end of September. I know that's soon, but if you just sort of suddenly feel you can get away, they're even nearly up to 50% off. They're just a couple of last-minute vacancies. If not, and these are like about a 12-day itinerary, there are departures for next year if you want to plan ahead, obviously, and do that as well. But I just thought it's just an amazing saving if anyone was fortunate enough to be able to get away quickly. They're obviously just, you know, getting rid of those last few cabins. So
Do you need a visa to go to the Arctic?
No, not to my knowledge. I haven't looked that up before I came, but I know you certainly don't for any of the other Scandinavian countries. So I would imagine not. You would have a limited entry time of how long you can stay, but you don't actually require a visa.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the other thing too I thought I'd mention, back in our own neck of the woods, Coral Expeditions is one of our main Australian expedition cruise line companies. They've recently welcomed two new long-range journeys into their collection. One's across the top of Australia from Cairns to Fremantle. That would be amazing, going and doing all that. And the other one is the Great Southern Shores from Fremantle to Sydney. So you can do, one of them is a 20-night and the other is a 26-night, or you can join them together and do a circumnavigation of the whole of Australia, which is quite remarkable. And they're also introducing some new journeys out for next year. They've also got one, a Tasman coastal voyage that goes all around Tassie, and Papua New Guinea and Melanesia, got a couple of cruises there. And they also visit like a lot of the old World War II relics, etc., when you're going to those areas. New Zealand, they've got cruises there of the South Islands and the Fiordlands for 2026. Papua New Guinea and Melanesia, as I said, is 26 through to October 26 to October 27. And Indonesia, Komodo and the Sulawesi Islands, November to December 2026. And it's nice to support our own, you know, small expedition cruise companies, and they're going to some incredible places. So that's worthwhile jumping on if you haven't looked at that. And don't forget the remarkable Katai Tanda, Lake Eyre, in flood. So there are some lovely tours still available on that for this year. If your captain's choice, have got some wonderful air tours if you're wanting to see that. And that would be just remarkable in itself to see Lake Eyre in full flood. And then you've got all the magnificent bird life that gathers there, of course, during the flood time. Because everyone thinks of pelicans as being seabirds because we see them on our shores, but they actually come from inland lakes, and inland waters is where they originate from. So you'll go out there and you'll see incredible flocks of all sorts of birds, including pelicans, which would be just remarkable.
I love pelicans.
I do too. One of my faves, actually. One of my favourites.
They're beautiful.
Regent Seven Seas, they're a luxury cruise company. They're calling this their Oceans of Discovery, where they're giving you up to 40% off their transcontinental voyages, which means crossing oceans, not just cruising around a country shoreline. So in other words, you might embark Cape Town and go across to somewhere, or, you know, from Tokyo, from Miami, from New York, from Rome, Auckland or Papeete. So you're doing sailings traversing the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian Ocean and the Timor Sea. It includes unlimited shore excursions at every destination, all your food, wine, everything, all inclusive. And that up to 40% off finishes on the 31st of August. Okay. Now, we did mention a little bit about Antarctica today, and Hurtigruten Expeditions, they've got a sale at the moment which ends also on the 31st of August, still celebrating their 130th anniversary, with up to 15% off Antarctic expeditions, plus also an exclusive price or free suite upgrade on their all-inclusive destinations. So that's also good to think of. Bunnik Tours, another nice Australian company who does small group coach touring. All their packages include air, which I love. So you're not fighting for an airfare to go with the tour. And it's all done for you. And again, it's nearly always all-inclusive, including tipping.
So, it just makes things so much easier.
No hand in your pocket all the time, you know, which is great. So they've got some wonderful tours of southern Japan for 2026, northern Japan, and also going into South Korea in depth. Lots of lovely itineraries there, including airfares, different durations depending on how long you want to go for, you know, from anything 16 days, 19 days. Wonderful itineraries, and as I said, all-inclusive of air. So look for those. And within Australia, Travel Marvel have got some lovely itineraries within Australia where they're savings anything from $600 per couple off a Murray River Explorer, $1,000 per couple off the Magical Monkey Mire up in Western Australia, Southwest Explorer Tour, savings on that of up to $1,600 per couple, and also a Tasman, Grand Tasman itinerary with Launceston Return 10-day with up to $2,000 per couple saving. So these are just subject to availability until sold out. So there's quite a lot on offer at the moment. There's a lot of good deals still around, so take advantage of them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get away for the winter. from our winter to their winter? I don't know.
That's tomorrow for me.
Oh, where are you off to?
Sri Lanka and the Maldives.
Oh, lovely. That sounds great.
Warmth.
I know. So you'll come back with a nice tan and some stories.
Some stories at least, anyway. Yes. I might not have the tan, but at least I'll have the stories.
Well, have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
Yes, we will catch you when you come back.
Yep.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.